851 East William Street, Carson City, Nevada. Note, the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is pleased to make reasonable accommodations for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization staff in writing at 3505 Buttai Way, Carson City, Nevada, 89701, or comments at carsonareampo.com, or call Patrick Pittinger at area code 775-887-2355 as soon as possible. Requests are required prior to 12 p.m. on July 7th, 2014. For more information regarding any of the items listed on the agenda, please contact Patrick Pittinger, Transportation Manager, at area code 775-887-2355. Additionally, the agenda with all supporting materials posted on the CAMPA website at www.carsonareampo.com or is available upon request at 3505 Buttai Way, Carson City, Nevada. We'll start with the agenda with item A, roll call and determination of quorum. Kathleen?
Vice Chairperson Fierro.
Here.
Member Bonkowski.
Here.
Member Erb.
Here.
Member McKenna.
Here.
Member McQuarrie.
Here.
Member Smolenski. Ex officio Member Van Havel.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Item B is public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Metropolitan Planning Organization may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the MPO. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future MPO meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there anybody today in the public that would like to approach the MPO?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask a member of the public to approach, Mr. Jim Mallory.
All right, thank you.
Jim Mallory. Yes, I remember he's a member of the public now, but until recently, Jim Mallory was the chair of CAMPO and member of RTC, and we had a plaque made for him here because we certainly appreciate his service to both bodies, of course, but we thought appropriate to do this under CAMPO. I've been working with Jim since probably the day I got here, previously as an NDOT employee, and now as an RTC and CAMPO board member, and he's been a pleasure to work with and has brought much to the table with all his experience and doing a fine job of representing the area well and the city well, even though he had a few ties to one of our partners, NDOT. So this indicates your fellow board members, staff, and entire community, thank you for your commitment to serve, and you've served with distinction. Your contributions have been well appreciated, dated July 9th, 2014. So thank you very much,
well,
Jim.
Thanks.
Please say a few words in your own defense.
Well, when Patrick and Larry Hastings asked me to do this when I retired 5.5 years ago, I just said no. I think I said no 5 times. And I'm glad that they continue to persist, because giving something back to the community is satisfying and rewarding, and I'm glad to be able to have been a part of that. And I appreciate the nice words and appreciate working with everybody here. And NDOT, I always felt, stood for nothing done on time. And I've learned working here with Carson City that when we're going to do Whoop Street or Stewart Street, when we're going to do signs, when we're going to do a light at the Fandango, and we're going to work on the issues with Clear Creek or whatever, we went out and did those things. And nothing against NDOT, Jason, but because you've got tremendous responsibility statewide and all that, but it was refreshing to work with an organization where you knew month after month you're going to see progress on this, and that's been good, and I appreciate that. It's been very rewarding. Thanks.
And Jim, thank you for your service.
Thank you all.
Okay, is there anybody else from the public? Okay, we'll move on to item C, which is for possible action approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes of May 14th, 2014 as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number D is agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. CAMPO may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and CAMPO may remove an item from agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Item E, disclosures. Are there any members that have any disclosures? Hearing none, we'll move down to item F, which is our public meeting items. We'll start off with F1, and this is information on the proposed CAMPO federal fiscal years 2015 through 2018 transportation improvement program, otherwise the TIP, known as the TIP.
Thank you for the introduction, Mr. Chair. And just very briefly, this is kind of that time of year again where we update our TIP to basically shift another, you know, four fiscal years ahead. So we're looking at 2015 through 2018 here. We're in our comment period now, which started on June 29th. And there will be a chance for the public to come out and contact staff directly regarding any questions or concerns about this. There's a public meeting in this building in the Bonanza Room next Wednesday, it is. And in developing this, we've coordinated with all our partners, you know, those that have projects already programmed in the TIP and others that are under the purview of the CAMPO planning area. And we've gotten feedback from everyone, and hopefully this is close to finalized, but there may be some changes in between the comment period. And if there are any, we'll bring those comments back at the next meeting. We seek to get approval for a finalized TIP and have it adopted.
Are there any members who have questions of staff on this item? Are there any members of the public that would like to address this item? Okay. Since that was an information item, we don't have to vote on it. So we will proceed to item F2, and this one is for possible action, the election of the chairperson for CAMPO. Patrick.
Not much for me to say. Mr. Mallory has resigned his position. Member Fierro is currently the vice chair and serving chairing this meeting. But as we currently only have a vice chair, you know, we believe it's appropriate to have the body vote to appoint a new chair and vice chair for the remainder of the term.
Okay. Mr. McKenna.
Would it be appropriate to nominate the position, the county, versus the person? And I don't know if that's necessary. I was just thinking that if Ray had Lyon County business and couldn't make the meeting, then we have a vice chair, and he puts a substitute in there. They could be the chairperson. Probably no need for it. I was just wondering, since it is a county organization, the seats are based on counties versus based upon the person.
Yeah, I think I get where you're going with that. I think the only issue is, of course, we do have multiple members from the same county, so we wouldn't be, I presume you wouldn't be appointing a member from Carson City as a blanket member. You'd be assigning an individual.
Okay.
Correct? I mean, I don't know. Joe, do you have any thoughts on the appointment of a specific member versus a representative of a body such as Lyon County? I mean, what happens if Ray Fierro, as he is now, is unable to attend and sends an alternate in his place? Would that person still be the chair automatically? Do we need to address that at all?
Joe, we're from the DA's office. I'm sorry, I was working on something else. And I think you probably want someone specific for the chair and the vice chair so that the vice chair mm-hmm. could take over the responsibilities of the chair.
Yeah, I guess the question is, what if the chair is the chair and is unable to attend, and they send an alternate in their place? Does the alternate act as the chair? I guess that's maybe the question you're inspiring me. Is that the question?
I know where member Kamina
let's just drop it.
Is going. However, I think if if this board wanted me to be the chair and I wasn't absent, I would assume the vice chair would take over, and then my alternate would be just present.
Okay, I move that Ray Fierro be the chair of the Campo.
Okay, John, you beat me to the punch then. Are there any other nominations? Okay, I see how this goes. We need a vote, though. It's an action item. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes. I guess I luckily have been nominated the chair. Thank you.
So what are we going to do about vice chair?
We are good. Well, that's a good question, because did we agendize? Yeah, so that we do have it on the agenda as chair also.
I will note when Member Smolenski called me to say that he wasn't going to be able to attend, he was aware that these nominations were happening. So I don't know if that was on purpose. but yeah, appoint a member present or not.
Okay. So at this time, I'd like anybody to nominate a member for vice chair.
Do you want to do it?
Okay.
I'll
Member McQuarrie has put forth Member Smolenski, and it's been seconded. Is there any further discussion? Then I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. All right. We'll move on to item G, which is internal communications and administrative matters. G1, future agenda items.
The only item for sure that we have will be the final transportation improvement program, which is of utmost importance because it's key for a lot of things we do. So we look forward to bringing the final TIP for your approval next month.
Okay, thank you. We'll move to item H, which is board comments, status reports and comments from the members of the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization Board. Is there anybody? We'll start down here, Jason.
Thank you. In the past month, the DOT received a letter from Secretary Fox from the U.S. DOT, and it outlined the transportation funding situation on the national level. As we know, the Transportation Authorization Act, MAP 21, is scheduled to expire at the end of September, but that's only half of the equation. The other half is the funding so that they have cash on hand to be able to pay bills when they come due. The cash is running out in the national transportation account. So Secretary Fox, you know how normally when there's official letters from official people, they're very soft and fluffy? This one was very stern and direct, and I think it used the word dire situation. And it's directing the DOTs to put together contingency plans in terms of if the cash situation is in a dire state, and that they USDOT is formulating plans to start stretching out their repayments to the states. And of course that could potentially impact entities like Campo, because much of that money that comes to the DOT flows straight through to entities like Campo. Unless there's significant action via Congress, USDOT will have no choice but to honor their commitments that they make before the end of the fiscal year, but they just don't have the cash coming in to be able to pay their bills on a timely basis. So we should expect that if Congress doesn't act, the repayments from USDOT to Nevada DOT will start to happen in a slower pace. They'll start to be stretched out. And at this point, there's internal conversations about how that'll impact local entities. We're going to try to formulate some strategies to do what we can to shield local entities, but at some point our cash would run low as well. So I just think that Campo ought to be aware of the letter we received.
Thank you. Member Erb?
I don't have anything at this time.
Okay. Member McQuarrie?
Nothing for me, thank you.
Mr. McKenna?
Would it be possible for us to get a copy of the Carson City and a copy of the letter? I'm not terribly worried about NDOT, but we're letting contracts and things like that, and I think it might be prudent. Well, let me back up a step. I guess we need to know whether or not Carson City is going to have the cash to pay for the contracts we let this fiscal year. And if we're going to be late in our payments or delayed in our payments, I think we need to let the organization that's going to do the work know that, because I would hate for, like, the Hell's Bells project to get started and then halfway through tell them we're going to pay them in 6 months when they've got contractors out there wanting their money. So,
yeah. Just to follow up, right now, the U.S. DOT reimbursements to Nevada DOT take a matter of hours, 24, 48 hours or so for reimbursements when we request reimbursement. The initial stages, we would expect those reimbursements to be on the order of a week or two, and depending on how long the situation carries on, then it may stretch out from there. But every obligation that USDOT has made to date will be honored. It's just, so if we let a contract out, we know that the money will be there for reimbursement. It's just if it extends on too long, then it could extend into a situation where the payments could get very significant for the reimbursements. But I'll try to get you a copy of the letter, and then at the staff level, we'll work to get a better idea of what the potential implications would be.
Thank you. Member Bukowski. Okay. Thank you. We're back on to item I. Once again, public comment. If there's anybody in the public that would like to approach Campo? Seeing none, we'll go to item J for possible action adjournment. Any? Okay, we're adjourned. The Carson City RTC meeting will start in 5 minutes.
Great job.
Thank you.
close highway funds. They're going to cut the jack funds.
Thank you, Patrick. That was an interesting discussion. I'm glad we're in good shape, but I think we ought to discuss it at the supervisor level. Call the Regional Transportation Commission to order. It's Wednesday, July 9th at about 10 till 5. We're in the Sierra Room. First item on the agenda is roll call.
Chairperson McKenna?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Smolenski, Commissioner Bonkowski?
Here.
Commissioner McQuarrie?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is B, public comment. If anyone in the public has a comment for the commission on any matter, or you can hold your comments until we get to that particular item you want to talk about. Nobody's moving, so we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, the approval of the minutes of May 14th, 2014. I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve the minutes of May 14, 2014. As presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Next item on the agenda is agenda management notice. Does anyone want to move any item to a different position within the agenda? Hearing none, seeing none, we'll move on to the next item. Disclosures. Does anyone on the commission have anything they wish to explain, contacts with the public, or business with the commission? Not seeing any, hearing any. We'll move on to the next item, public meeting items. F1 for possible action to reject A&K Earth Movers Incorporated bid protest based upon a determination that A&K Earth Movers bid protest is not valid. Who's going to handle it, Patrick, you or Darren? Or Joe?
And here I was looking at Joe. What's your preference, gentlemen?
Joe Orr from the DA's office. I see from the agenda that there is a reference to the input from NDOT that is a basis for rejection. Also, it's my understanding that there were other bidders, even assuming the DBE goal was a requirement, who were more responsive, lower bidders. On that basis, there's simply no standing. And on that basis, there is a solid basis or ground for rejecting the protest.
Okay. In the interest of fairness, is anyone from A&K here that wishes to speak? Seeing none, hearing none, are we required to go through anything else, or can we just take a motion?
It's just completely up to the chair. You can have additional discussion from the body, or simply see if a motion can be made.
Okay, generally it's not a public discussion matter. It's a quasi-judicial hearing to determine facts and to make a decision based upon the facts presented at the bid protest. But I'll entertain any public comment if there is any. Any commissioner comment?
Yes.
Go ahead.
My understanding is that even if A&K's bid protest were to be valid, they still wouldn't get the project because there are lower responsive bidders between them and the bid that they're protesting.
That's correct. And they, on that basis, have no standing, so you never get to first base.
So therefore, I move to reject A&K Earth Movers, Inc. bid protest based on the determination that A&K Earth Movers, Inc. bid protest is not valid based on the memorandum from the State of Nevada Department of Transportation regarding DBE goals.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any additional comment? All in favor?
Aye.
I vote aye also. For the record, it requires three votes. Next, we'll move on. It carries. It carries. We'll move on. Next item on the agenda. F2, to determine that Coons Construction LLC is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1314-164, Safe Route to School, Hells Bells Road Pedestrian Improvements, for a bid amount of $169,255 with a contingency not to exceed $20,745 to be funded from Department of Transportation grant proceeds of $190,000 awarded in fiscal year 2013-2014. Patrick, go ahead.
Yep. Very briefly, this is actually the last project out of the now defunct funding program called Safe Routes to School. It is located very close to Eagle Valley Middle School. It provides a key pedestrian connection, which does not exist today, on Hells Bells Road, where you, during school year, you daily have many, many students walking with no facilities. We're very happy to be awarding this after several years of work. And I will just note that you may have noticed that there is a slightly larger than normal contingency, and that gives us the ability to utilize grant funds that are available to us as needed during the project.
Based upon the information we heard at the Campo meeting, do we have enough cash? I mean, money to send out to pay for this thing?
Yes, RTC fund is capable of paying for this at this point in the fiscal year, and carrying that cost as it has on other projects pending reimbursement.
Comments, questions, et cetera, from commissioners?
I got one. Go right ahead. So just so I'm clear, Patrick.
Yes.
Okay, so A&K was not the second bidder, but Coons was the low bidder, so we're going to award Coons the job. The bid specifications, there was some irregularities, is that right? Is that the way that
Yes, there was one inconsistency with the other statements in the documents and the intent of the bid documents.
Okay. And other bidders had actually come forth with their DBEA good faith, or do we know?
At least some of them did. That is correct.
And there's no concern on their part at all then, so, yeah.
I believe we were only contacted by A&K, which was higher up on the scale of cost.
Gotcha. Thank you.
And the time for receiving protest for all bidders has passed, right?
And to our knowledge, there was no effect on the total bid amounts because of the DBA requirement.
No, because the intent was to not have a DBA goal, and that was the and we have documentation of that respect from Nevada Department of Transportation as well.
In the original, so in the bid documents, it required, what did it call out, 5% DBE originally in the bid documents?
Yeah, it did.
And that wasn't required per the memorandum?
That's correct.
But the memorandum wasn't part of the bid documents to begin with, right?
It was not.
It was not.
No.
Okay. So there is a possibility that some of the bidders' prices could have included extra costs for the 5% DBE, or do you think that's not possible?
We don't typically see that it the cost of there's an effort to go out and try and get a DBE goal, an extra effort by the bidding contractors, but there shouldn't be any additional cost out of pocket for the actual award of the bid to those contractors. So we didn't factor that in. But really what came to our conclusion was the fact that there was several other responsive lower bidders between A&K and Coons Construction. Therefore, we ruled out their protest.
Briefly going forward in the future, it would be good to have the bid documents be correct, wouldn't it?
That is correct.
We're doing a mass re-evaluation of our process and making sure that we limit our exposure in the future, and we're assuring everybody that we will get there and try not to waste any contractors' time.
Thank you.
I think that we can probably make the assumption that the four contractors between A&K Earth Movers and Coons Construction, if they felt that there was a financial impact to the DBE requirement that would have made them more competitive on the bidding process, that they would have filed a protest. And that did not in fact happen. Okay. Thank you.
And just to assure everyone that the city is taking this seriously, it is my understanding that the city manager has taken this project under his wing, and they are actively working on recreating bid documents so that what goes out is what is required, and what comes back in as a bid will need to follow those documents. We don't want to incur any cost because we cause contractors to have to build in costs to make sure the documents are met, even though the requirements are there. And we don't want to have situations like this where people can allege confusion in the bid documents. So it is being dealt with. I don't have a final date, but we will keep on top of it because it's something that is a high priority. Any public comment? Seeing none, motion or comment?
I move to determine that Coons Construction LLC is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1314-164, Safe Route to School, Hells Bells Road Pedestrian Improvements, for a bid amount of $169,255 plus a contingency amount not to exceed $20,745 to be funded from Department of Transportation grant proceeds of $190,000 awarded in fiscal year 2013-2014.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Next, it carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is possible action. Take that back. It's information on support for the jump around Carson City Transit Service for the NV-150s, whatever that word is, fair.
Thank you. The NV-150 fair, the Nevada Fair, is going to be held July 30th through August 3rd at Fuji Park in Carson City. The remote parking location, because there's not a lot of on-site parking, is going to be at the Casino Fandango on their facilities, which we are very appreciative of. One of the very fortunate things about this is that not only is there good parking there, but it's actually two stops on Route 3 of the Jack bus system. We literally have stops on both sides of the street on Curry, right at Casino Fandango, and we also have a stop right at Fuji Park. So that is going to allow us to enhance the Jack services during the period of the fair to provide additional services to get people to and from the fair. So it's very fortuitous. We will be having additional vehicles on the road. We will be operating additional hours to more line up with the hours of the fair to make sure we can get the people there and back. The JAC services that we run will be operated as part of the system and will be reimbursable as others as normal services are. In addition to that, there will be other services as well. It's not all JAC service. There are a couple of vehicles that the city owns that that are currently owned by the Parks Department that are happen to be former JAC buses that will also be operated. And we are also contracting with Amador Stage Lines for one of their nice vehicles each evening when we think that there will be demand for such vehicles. So it's not all resting on the JAC bus service. But we wanted to make sure that this body was aware of what we're doing as part of our efforts to serve and promote the fair. That's a signature event for the Nevada's sesquicentennial 150th anniversary this year. That's all.
So the buses are going to go from where to where?
The buses are going to transport people between the Fandango, which is located on Carson Street and then Curry Street. There's parking behind there as well near the movie theater. Between that location and Eau Claire Creek Road in front of Fuji Park. We're actually going to be using the bus stop on Eau Claire Creek at Fuji Park, which has a nice pullout for the buses and shelters and all that good stuff.
How is the public going to be informed? Will it be signage? Because I don't want to drive down towards Costco and get stuck in traffic and then have to drive all the way back up to Fandango.
We're going to actually, I just received the permit approval today. We're actually from Nevada Department of Transportation to have message boards on. There are going to be two on Carson Street itself, plus additional ones on Clear Creek and actually two on Clear Creek, one each east and west of Carson Street, directing people to the parking at the Fandango. There will not be a charge to park at the Fandango. We've been reassured by the Fandango management, and there will not be a charge to ride a bus between the Fandango and the fair in either direction.
What about those with special transportation needs, wheelchairs, et cetera? And what about those people that want to take a cooler over there and sit in the park?
There will be, just to be clear, there will be disabled parking. That will be one type of parking that is provided. There won't be general parking provided at the fairgrounds, but there will be disabled parking there. Should a disabled person decide to park at the Fandango, there are spots there that will accommodate that. And with the exception, I have to check with them, and all the other buses that will be used will be handicap accessible, will be ADA compliant, and we'll make sure that we serve their needs. As far as a cooler goes, I have to check the rules on what you can bring into the fair. But we will be as accommodating as possible, allow people to bring what they need on the bus to a point.
I check on it because there may be a family that wishes to ride the bus over and, have small kids, that sort of thing. So
right. No, absolutely. We'll be as accommodating as we can. This is definitely a special event.
Commissioner, questions, comments? Public questions, comments? Thank you. Next item on the agenda is F4, possible action to approve the 2014 short-range transit development plan for the jump-around Carson transit system.
Thank you. We've been working for a period of months, actually, on the development of a short-range transit plan. We're talking about a five-year period when we talk about short-range, and I'm certainly not going to review this whole document because there is a lot of information here, and it's available, and if anybody wants a copy, we'll be happy to do it. We've had a couple of informational meetings, actually, here at the Bonanza Room at the Community Center, and it's been available for review. I will basically to summarize what we found in our review is that wasn't anything too surprising, really. We are serving most of the places that you want to go with the bus system, what we call major trip generators. However, there are definitely some that are not served. Or they are served, but only during the day when there may be demand for evening service, or potentially for a different day of the week. One of the ones that we highlighted, and I point this out specifically, is the Frosty Asmer Estates on Fifth Street. That is very well known to us, and it is one of of several different locations that it would be good to serve with fixed route bus service. We included information here about the most recent survey we did. The biggest request that we got was for extension into the evening. There's a lot of demand for evening service, especially at certain locations like WNC during the school year, of course, but also just a general request that the bus riders would like to have more flexibility to travel into the evening. We did compare ourselves to other systems, and we've had additional talks with the operators of some systems, and to summarize, we believe that while we're providing a very very key service to our community, it is a relatively minimal system. But we do compare with some of our other communities around the West that we compared to in this document. But it's not an expansive system as it is now. While we provide a good service, we could provide more. However, there are always financial limitations to what we are able to provide. We have sufficient federal resources available to us that are definitely a blessing and an asset to what we have, but you need to have non-federal funds normally to operate with those, to use those for operations. So we've been using a lot of those funds for capital needs, like the upcoming fleet building, which will be a wonderful wonderful addition to what we have, and we've been continuing to make bus stop improvements. The bottom line is that if funding were available to expand the service, we'd say that the first priority would be to extend into the evening. It's easier to implement. It fills the biggest demand that we have before us. And the second most important thing would be, the second priority would be, go to areas that we don't go to now, which we know is also a demand that we have before us. That's a little more difficult to implement because you have to acquire vehicles to have more vehicles operating simultaneously. You have to change your route structure, move some stops. But in the end, our conclusion is that unless you can have even though we have some money in our transit fund now, you need to be assured that you have sufficient funds to continually operate indefinitely, a funding source that can reasonably be expected to continue to operate into the foreseen future. And while we know we have some issues with federal funds now, generally speaking, we've been treated very well with federal funds. Unless another source of funding or an increased source of funding of non-federal funds is identified, that we would need that before we would actually recommend, yes, you should go ahead with any sort of expansion, whether it be into the evening or to additional areas of the city. Tried to boil it down there. It's a big report. Oh, and I will mention, I want to make sure I mention this, Member Bonkowski pointed out a typographical error late in the report where the word says not instead of note, which can make a big difference, which we'll be happy to repair. And also an inconsistency between the text on page 34 and a table on 35, which we will also promise to address. But the important thing is that it won't change any of the conclusions that I just shared with you. It doesn't change the bottom line of our conclusions and recommendations to you.
What I didn't see in this report was any type of analysis on adding additional bus stop shelters. Has that been looked at, or is that in the capital plan? And my thinking, Patrick, is that ridership might increase during the winter if there were more bus stop shelters. I think it's only about 10% of our bus stops actually have shelters.
Yes, I believe we have about 160 some stops, and I think we're up to 19 shelters. Yes, we're up to 19 shelters. We have a couple locations with benches, and actually Graham is working on the installation of another bench at Woodside near airport right now. But you're right. I don't know that we addressed that directly in here, but the fact of the matter is that while we were developing this, we frankly held off a little bit just in the last 6 months, because we want to make sure that we're not going installing shelters if we were able to rearrange the routes, because you're talking about pouring concrete, installing infrastructure. If we do, if we feel more certain, we'll be continuing on with our improvements. We actually have installed more shelters on Russell Way recently. We put in a bench actually on Winnie by across from the new McDonald's a year or so ago. So yeah, we're totally open to doing that, and actually because that's capital, it's really much more affordable because it's a one-time cost and it's a better match.
Have you looked into having potentially businesses sponsor bus shelters? So in other words, the business would pay for a particular shelter and they would get advertising on that shelter?
We actually were approached once years ago by a company that was interested in doing that and subsidizing the cost. The trick is that we already get 80% from the federal government anyway. But having said that, this bench that we're procuring now to put in on Airport and Woodside is actually coming about because an individual approached us asking us if they could pay for the local portion of this bench for the residents, and they want to put a little plaque on it that says in memory of, which we're very open to. So we're totally open to the idea. I mean, individual is one thing, but we're open to businesses as well. And frankly, when we were approached previously, we weren't doing the advertising on the buses either, and we said let's get the advertising on the buses going. And there would have to be a decision by this body whether that's something they're interested in as far as the community and how advertising looks on the back of benches.
I'd love to see that on a future agenda item.
Okay.
Patrick, what about increased services for special or diverse populations, special needs, that sort of thing? Is this part of this, or is that a different discussion item?
Well, are you talking about services for disabled individuals or?
Disabled or those that perhaps want to attach a bicycle to the bus or someone whose job requires them to carry, I don't know, a cooler once again. I'm hooked on coolers today, so.
Well, I think that we have a policy for what you can carry on the bus, and as long as you're not talking about a, 40-quart cooler, we already don't have a problem as long as it's, sitting on your lap and out of the way. We already have extensive services for disabled individuals, and we now have and we have a policy for that, governing that operation, and we also have bike racks in all of our fixed-route buses. So if there's anything you think I'm leaving out, please tell me.
Well, I was looking more for outreach, so because you guys do a fairly good job, and it's always somebody might have a need. If they had an idea or a need, they would just call you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, okay. That's how we got the bike racks in the first place.
All right.
And we're always open.
Public comment, questions? Come on forward. We'll get you next.
My name is Kevin Burns. I am an instructor up at Western Nevada College. I am also the supervisor of the Veterans Resource Center at Western Nevada College for the 200 veterans we have up there. And although it has previously been mentioned, I just thought I would add my voice to extending the times of coverage for Western Nevada College. One of the problems is our busiest time at the college, the time that we have the classrooms packed the most, is from 5:30 to 6:45. And obviously 6:45 is after the buses have stopped running. The last class that we have lets out at 9:45, and giving a couple of minutes to talk with an instructor if one needs to. That means about 10 o'clock we have people looking for rides. We have seen an increase in the veterans population due to the reduction in forces of our armed services, so that we are now looking at an increase in our veterans population, which two semesters ago was roughly 145 to now we're over 200. And obviously we have some issues with transportation that we deal with on a catch-as-catch-can basis. But I just wanted to put my voice in for the extension of the services. I certainly understand economics. I understand how we look at ridership and fill the buses. However, there is a segment of the population that does need that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Patrick, any comments?
No, this is something we're very much aware of, and one of the reasons why we'd recommend evening service if it were financially feasible.
Okay. Ma'am? Please.
My name is Riley Rose. I'm the treasurer, part of the Associated Students of Western Nevada.
My name is Shelley Bale. I'm the advisor for student government at Western Nevada College.
Pretty much my biggest concern, I'd like to see an extension of the hours because, like Mr. Burns says, our busiest times are from about 5 until about 10 at night, and we don't want to see kids stranded out at the shelter. I mean, I used to take the bus as well, and I would see kids asking for rides at 10 o'clock, and it's getting real snowy, and security ends up having to deal with them. So we're just kind of looking for an out kind of to help these kids get off campus when they need to. And it's just roughly a big handful of them. I mean, it's not a huge number, but we're just trying to help them out, really.
And I've worked at the college for 7 years, and ever since I've worked there, I've heard the need to expand the hours. And like Kevin Burns said, you know, the majority of our students attend at night. I was a little bit surprised to hear that. I got the numbers today from our, you know, the folks that do the statistics, and I was kind of surprised. And we have 1,100 students attending these night classes from 4 till 9:45. So we have students, I think, that potentially are being denied access to the college. They're maybe not taking classes. They've decided they can't do it because they don't have transportation. So I'd like to also, you know, look at it from that angle too, that we want to provide access to the college. Thank you.
Patrick, just a comment on the public comment. We have the ability to extend evening service just on Route 2 A and B, correct, which would cover not only the community college but also cover most of the major shopping areas?
We do, actually, and just as they were speaking, I think that my suggestion to you would be to tell me to go talk to WNC further, because maybe it's just a matter of, you know, running service, you know, full service to get folks to the college, and then potentially facilitating a service that focuses on getting them home. You wouldn't necessarily have to run the whole service. You could actually, you know, stage vehicles there, you know, to serve them. But we do have options, absolutely.
And then that would allow us, if we were to focus specifically on WNC, that would also allow us to maybe do that as well as look at in changing the actual routes themselves. Or one of your recommendations was to add a fifth route. So we could look at then doing parts of more than one recommendation rather than one recommendation in its entirety.
Yes, you know, sky's the limit on your options.
Right. Then I would ask you to go talk to WNC.
Not only would I ask you to talk to WNC, but we need to talk to the legislature and we need to talk to the regents. I sat on a thing called SB 391, which is a governance, a subcommittee for governance and finance of community colleges. And what we tried to express to the regents and the legislature is that WNC for Carson City and for the other five counties it serves is incredibly important. Education is a large part of economic development and economic retention. So I think we need to take a full press on this within the next couple of months to get information to the legislature. Maybe they'll do something, maybe not. But if they don't, then we can bring it back to the supervisors and see if that's something they might want to do with their block grant funds or maybe even general funds. I have no idea what they want. Anything? Please come forward, the lady behind you, and then it'll be your turn. Yes, you'll get public comment.
Good evening. My name is Gail Struble. I work for Adult Literacy and Language at WNC, so I'm thinking about the high school equivalency population as well as English language learners, also English as a second language students. And our students enjoy in the morning the bus passes to transport up to the college, although they don't have that in the evening. In the summer, our evening classes are at WNC. So, you know, there is the problem there with the transportation with our evening classes, which are from 6 to 9. During the fall, winter, spring months, our evening classes are at the Carson High School High Tech Center, and I was just curious, and I don't know about what kind of numbers that we would have that would be interested, but is there ever the possibility of having Jack provide transportation to the Carson High School High Tech Center?
Yeah, it's entirely possible. I mean, we don't go directly there now. The closest we get is Longstreet, just to the north of there. And there are high school students that do ride that, get off on Longstreet and walk to the high school because it's not very far. But yeah, it'd just be a matter of looking at the times a day and how it could be served.
So that's separate from what you're looking at right now with opening up the transportation in the evening to WNC. Is that like your first priority?
Well, yeah, our first recommendation would be to provide more evening service. Our second priority would be to provide another route, which would allow you to go to areas that you don't go to now, like the Frosty Asmer Estates or Arrowhead Business Park or middle schools or other valid destinations.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm DD Foremaster. I'm from RCIL and do drop in. And I'm here today to let you know that I really want the bus route increased time-wise. I think 11 o'clock is a reasonable hour because that way it would still allow for WNC students to be able to get home after classes. But the reason why I'm really here more than anything else is for years this town has closed down the bus system basically at 5 because the buses pull in and park, am I right, about 6? And so they usually end up having to be in the bus barn by about 6 o'clock. So their last run usually is like a little after 5. And people with disabilities really have no way to get around town after that point in time. They have to schedule literally their entire lives around the bus system. It would be really nice if people with disabilities could do something like go to the concert at the governor's mansion or go to the Friday night dance that's provided every Friday night by the city, or be able to catch a movie, or be able to even go down and go bowling in the evening hours and have some recreation, but no one has been able to do that. And one of the most successful clubs that we have ever organized in our lives was a recreation program. When we shut down that recreation program, we had over 100 members with disabilities. And out of those 100 members, people literally came together, encouraged each other, and it took on a life of its own, where people started volunteering more in the community, people started coming out of their homes, people started connecting with things in the community because we had a recreation program. When we lost our bus, it was over, 8 years ago now. When we lost our bus, they lost their identities, and they no longer had a recreation program. So extending this bus service not only would greatly increase the number of people with disabilities that could attend the community college at night, but it would also allow people with disabilities to be able to have a regular, normal life like everyone else and be able to go out in the evening and do things. So that's what I'm all about. And that's why I'm here tonight, to encourage you to please increase the hours. Thank you so much.
Anyone else? Okay, Patrick, I'll bring it back to the commission. If we approve this tonight, how do we get the discussion going on what was asked for?
regarding evening service and WNC in particular?
WNC, additional routes, additional hours, all of those things you want money for.
Well, let's see. The conversation doesn't stop even with approval, and I'll go seek out more representatives of WNC here in the near future and report back to you on what I find with them first. I think that's the key, and I think that's, I don't know, I think the answer is that if you were to approve this, we just keep working. I mean, we could keep modifying this, you know, for a long time, but we'd ask you to approve it and then go out there and refine it and potentially come back to you with more alternatives to hopefully meet the needs and along with cost estimates.
So approving this tonight won't set the plans in stone or in cement?
No.
But you can still continue to respond to
absolutely
what
not. We'll just keep working.
Anybody else? I don't know that we need to include in the motion the typographical corrections. You already have those handled, right? Okay.
They will be addressed.
Then I move to approve the 2014 short-range transit development plan for jump-around Carson Transit System.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's approved. Next item on the agenda is F5, a futuristic concept of a freeway going from Phoenix to Las Vegas, which has been approved, and then bringing it hopefully up this side of the state.
Yes, what is the requested action tonight is to approve a resolution encouraging the expressing support for this construction of I-11 with a future extension through the western portion of Nevada, including and through Carson City. Once again, I'm not going to go over this whole presentation, but the basics to know are that Map 21, the current federal transportation legislation, designated I-11 between Las Vegas and Phoenix, the two largest metropolitan areas that currently don't have an interstate between them. And much work is already going on right now to promote that. It's going to take years to build, but one big, huge example is that the Boulder City Bypass is moving along very quickly down in Southern Nevada as we speak. That's a very expensive project, and NDOT and Southern Nevada RTC are working hard on that. Basically, NDOT right now is seeking comments on other alignments. Both actually NDOT and Arizona DOT are seeking comments south of Phoenix and north of Las Vegas. The options that they are looking at are very broad brush strokes at the moment. The biggest question is to go up through eastern Nevada or through western Nevada. The proposal is to encourage the western alignment here. I will note that this Washoe RTC has already passed a resolution to that regard. And I know that Tonopah has done the same and others are doing that as well. Ours specifically would encourage a western alignment and through and including Carson City, hopefully to connect with what is a significant investment in I-580. But indeed, as the chairman mentioned, this is a somewhat futuristic thing. This is not something we think will happen overnight, but there are concrete things happening in Southern Nevada, and we want to make sure that our voice is heard. That is all.
Do we have a resolution number?
We do.
Okay. Any public comment? Commissioner comment? Entertain a motion.
I move to adopt resolution number 2014 RTCR1, expressing support for the construction of Interstate 11, I-11, from Phoenix, Arizona to Las Vegas, Nevada, with a future extension through Carson City utilizing the existing I-580 corridor.
Second.
Any comment? Public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I vote yes. It carries. Next item on the agenda is F6 for possible action to approve amendment number 3 to contract number 0910-182 with MV Transportation to exercise the second of 3 one-year options for the operation of the Jack Fixed Route and the Jack Assist Paratransit Service from October 1, 2014 to September 30, 2015 at a total cost of $642,625.50.
Thank you. This is an action item. MV Transportation is our current contractor. We are generally pleased with their service. We are also pleased that this was negotiated, and like the cost that is, and the negotiated price is only 1.5% higher than the previous year. It's the same. We've contracted for the same level of service as the previous year, and after this one, we'll have one more option available to us. And I'll just note that you know, one of the important aspects of our transit system, and this relates to this and previous item on the TDP, is that when I share with my colleagues how much money we pay for this, they use terms like unheard of, which is, I think, a compliment. I think we're running relatively lean here, and I think that a big part of that is this contract.
Patrick, based on our earlier conversations about the JAC service and possibly extending that into the evenings or changing the routes, if we were to do that, then we would have to bring this contract back and amend it?
Yes, that is correct. That's not not dissimilar to what we had to do previously when our in a previous year when our JAC assist service, we had greater demand with the Medicaid patients coming on board. We brought back an amendment to increase the hours to make sure that we had enough. So that would indeed be the case. We would amend it, and we'd have another negotiation with the contractor, wherein we would hopefully try to realize economies of scale and get a good price.
Any other commission questions, comments, public comment? Entertain a motion.
I move to approve amendment number 3 to contract number 0910-182 with MV Transportation to exercise the second of 3 one-year options for the operation of JAC Fixed Route and JAC Assist Paratransit Service from October 1, 2014 to September 30, 2015 for a total cost of $642,625.50.
Second.
Comments? Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
It carries. Next item on the agenda is F7 for possible action to approve staff to submit an application to the League of American Bicyclists for a bicycle-friendly community designation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll take this one. As you mentioned, it's an action item and just very brief history. This is something going back to 2010. It was brought before the RTC and subsequently the Board of Supervisors, giving permission for staff to apply for this bicycle-friendly community designation. And in 2011, we did so, resulting in what the League of American Bicyclists call an honorable mention. So we did not receive a designation at that time, but they gave us a lot of feedback and encouraged us to apply again. And more recently, we brought this forward again in December, this last December, just wanting to test the, you know, RTC, see if there's still interest in pursuing this, and I believe there was unanimous support in that. So we've done a number of improvements in the time since the last application we've submitted. Not least of all was also implement a complete streets policy that would happen a few months ago, and staff believes that we're in a pretty good situation to go ahead and reapply for their fall cycle, which actually is due in August here. But in the meantime, I've been working on this application and really getting a lot of input and feedback, not only internally from other city departments, but also members of like Muscle Powered and really just anyone that can provide valuable input to the application. So we're just looking for your approval tonight to go ahead and pursue submitting the application, and we'll see what happens.
Generally, the chair doesn't make a motion, but first off, any public comment? Okay, I move to approve. Public comment, good. Come on forward.
I see.
Hi, I'm Dee Dee Foremaster with RCIL, and do drop in again. I'm just want to voice my opinion on the fact that I think that this is very vital for our community, and I think it's very important because a lot of people with disabilities also are using these bike pathways. It has been wonderful for all of us, and a lot of people who cannot drive and are on bicycles or walking have been able to utilize these paths. So it has really, really helped Carson City to be more accessible walking, biking, and also wheelchair use. It's been an extreme help, and I would really like to see this be able to go through because this designation would mean a lot to Carson City. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Would either of you gentlemen care to make a motion? All right, I'll do it then. I move to approve staff to submit an application to the League of American Bicyclists for a bicycle-friendly community designation. It's been moved and seconded. Any comment? My comment is thank you for letting me make a motion. I feel useful tonight now. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Next item on the agenda. That's the last of our action items. We're now into internal communication and administrative matters. Go ahead and cover street operations, project status report, and future agenda items as you wish.
To give a quick update on the I don't have too much to report on our street operations activity report. Is a pretty normal month, but a quick update on our status report for projects. The one is the Hell's Bells Road improvement that was awarded tonight, so we'll get started on that right away, and that's great because we're ahead of schedule actually from when we anticipated getting notice and approval from NDOT, so we can get that done here yet this year. Unfortunately, it will be under construction when school starts, but the good news is that it will wrap up pretty quick. Vista Grande Boulevard reconstruction, just want to give you an update on that project down there. Both Old Clear Creek and Vista Grande Boulevard are now open. Thanks for your patience as we constructed that water line. I drove it this afternoon, and the sidewalks look great. Pedestrian access back and forth between Walmart and Costco is now a complete path with sidewalks and crosswalks so that it's a lot safer for pedestrians to walk that and or bike it, certainly. But the road is also open for vehicles. The project is not done, but the road is open. The third project that I just wanted to highlight, the east-west water transmission main, that project, the bids were open today. And we will be recommending an award through the Board of Supervisors at the next meeting that we can get on the agenda, and that will impact the traveling public along Solomon Street and then also impact the public who use Mills Park. But we'll have that well-signed signage there and what's allowed and what's not. So any other questions on projects?
Questions? Go ahead.
Curious, Darren, on the new Fairview curb. Has accidents gone up or down? Is there anything on it?
Well, there's black marks on it where tires are, so the brand new paint is worn off a little bit. But we haven't gotten any new data from the sheriff as far as accidents, but we'll give it a few months and then we'll visit with them and maybe we can bring something back regarding it. But I can't help but think it's going to go down considerably.
That concrete with the color in it, that's a great idea. With that said, at Stewart Street and William, the raised median curb that went in, are there plans to repaint all that, or are you just going to let it go back to concrete color?
Stewart Street and
you're the cracker. Yeah, the cracker
right
box,
by. Yeah, those. No, that's we're supposed to paint that. It'll get painted yet this year. That area, for some reason, it can't keep a coat of paint for more than a few months, but that will get repainted, yes.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, commission comments? public comment? Okay, I'll entertain motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, we're adjourned.